And we're up. So we'll go ahead and start the Colorado Voter Access and Modernization Elections Commission meeting. And I know we have some people on the phone and we have a full crowd here with us today. Our first item on the agenda is open public comment, and I think we have a couple people signed up. Great, so Michael. Sure. Oh, okay. We committed you to this, so now we're so sad. Tracy Maps. You want to go ahead and join us right up here? Oh, just to get in. That's what you're trying to tell me. Oh, now we're doubly sad. Is there anybody else, though, that didn't sign up that would like to, in the public comment period, join us and inform us? Do I have to pick someone from the audience? Just teasing. Okay, so we will do the SLI weekly briefing. Start out.
Hi, I'm Tracy Maps with SLI. I'd like to go ahead and introduce Mike Santos, who is the project lead. He wasn't able to attend last week. So Mike Santos is the project lead on this project, and so he'll go ahead and go through the status, the weekly status, and give you guys an update as to where we're at with this.
Great. Thank you so much, Tracy. Go ahead, Michael.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Santos from SLI. If we just want to turn, I guess, to the second page in the attachments that were at the door.
Excuse me. Could I ask them to stand a little closer to the mic? This is Bob Rankin in Conference Co.
So what is that? Yeah, because with people on the phone and having been on the phone a couple times, it is really challenging to hear. So for all of us, a reminder to speak into mic for the people on the phone. We have at least two people on the phone.
Okay. I will try to project. We're looking for the week ending of August 1st. Last week was our first week on the project. Our status summary, which is the first section, we executed the statement of work in the purchase order. We've begun work on the project. We met with the Department of State's, the Secretary of State's people last week, and we worked on defining the scope of the project. I guess there was a little bit of discussion last week about the definition of voting system versus potentially election system. And we did clarify that with the Secretary of State's office that a voting system will have the definition basically of what the Election Assistance Commission defines it as, which is basically election management system, polling place, equipment and software, central count, accumulation and tallying software, that type of thing. So it does not include voter registration or those types of applications. I guess that falls under the state's definition of election system, not voting system. I guess, are there any questions on that?
Oh my God, is there any questions on that, either on the phone or here? Does that look like it? Go ahead, Michael.
All right. So next up in our status report is our accomplishments for the last week, which was last week. Tracy and Mark last week attended this meeting. We conducted a kickoff meeting with the Colorado Secretary of State's people. I think that was on Tuesday. 7:30. We've attained documentation from the Secretary of State's office as well as this committee to get us going on a number of our line items for what we're responsible for the project, and we'll touch on that a little bit more in a minute. Part of that, I guess, actually is the next line item. One, we've started creating the survey that we'll be sending out to county, to all the counties. We anticipate tomorrow sending that out. And that's actually an attachment farther on in the packet. We're conducting and have pretty much completed analysis of current voting systems being used throughout the state, and we're working on validating some of the numbers that we've gotten from the Secretary of State's office, and we'll continue to do that. We'll actually have a question or two within the survey to kind of follow up on that type of stuff, even though I think you'll see when we get to the survey, it's really oriented more towards, you know, assessing the needs for the future, but we can get to that in a second, I think. Plans for the next week, which is this current week, as I just said, we're going to deploy the county surveys. We'll be contacting manufacturers for costing estimates as part of that future system analysis and assessment. And we are continuing to working on identifying state needs. And part of that, again, will be, or a significant portion of that will be answered by the survey and by our conversations with the counties, you know, trying to see what it is that they're looking for moving forward, as well as what the state is going to be looking to be able to provide to the counties. Are there any questions so far for what we did last week and what we're planning on doing this week?
Great. Any questions from any commissioner? Working good. This is, I appreciate the outline. This is nice. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Oh, there's a question. Jesse.
Hi there. Thanks so much. My name is Jesse. And I just wondered, in the last meeting, we decided that in some way, shape, or form, you would reach out to the Clerks Association to make sure they were providing you with the names of the clerks that they wanted to check in with. And I'm just wondering if that happened or if you're just waiting for the survey piece.
Are you talking about like verbal communication with those clerks? That is part of what we're going to be doing as well. We're going to send out the surveys as a written survey, but then our intent is to have verbal discussions with as many of the different county clerks and recorders as we possibly can, and other entities. Actually, talking with Secretary of State's people last week, they've encouraged us to, you know, kind of reach out to anybody and everybody and try to, you know, have some kind of discussion with any interested group. So we're definitely open to that, and we'll be pursuing that as much as we can. So we'll probably, you know, look to the commission to give us additional entities to try to get in touch with, to have discussions with as part of the assessment.
So I think one of the directions that from last meeting is that to contact the county clerks to say which specific ones do they feel like there needs to be probably representative of their association. So they probably need to have some, want to give you some specific counties that they would like you to make sure that you're have been reached out to. Or Hillary, do you have some?
Yeah, I think that would be great. And I do also think, you know, anyone who can respond in a timely manner would also be great. And then we just want to make sure that we get all the different types and all of that.
So I think we need a contact of who to reach out to get that list of the county clerks that you want us to reach out to.
Sure.
So I'm not sure, is that you that we need to get?
That would be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Let's see.
Any other questions? Martha has a question.
Thank you.
Martha,
too. I just have a question about one of the interview questions.
Sure.
Maybe because I'm just not understanding it. Number six, what is it that you're trying to get at there? Is there anything in your current voting system that causes negative issues?
It was really kind of oriented to enable the counties to voice any concerns with their current systems, you know, something that most, I don't, you know, like a larger county may not have an issue with something, but a smaller county may, you know, this impacts us because it's less cost effective for us, whatever that may happen to be. Just something that would give us food for thought when we're looking at the next generation of systems coming out to, you know, make sure that everybody's issues and concerns are addressed when we look at those.
Great. Do you have any follow-up?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks. Elena.
Thank you. This is Elena Nunez. I have a couple of questions, and I'm wondering if maybe we could just walk through what you were trying to get at with the assessment. I don't understand some of the questions about ideal election type, how that fits into an assessment of the technology. So could you kind of share how these questions came to be and kind of what you were thinking?
You know, before you go into those, you know, one thing that we might want to point out is that we did obtain all of the survey results from, or the survey results that were made available to us from the UBS committee, and we've gone through and we've assessed those and analyzed those so that we're not asking a lot of those same questions. So I think that's something good to point out first, is that we're going to be leveraging those, validating those results, and then we've added some additional questions onto those so that we're not doing redundant work, calling these people up and asking them the same types of questions that have already been asked.
Right, and I think that makes sense. I'm just concerned that the question about the type of election seems like it's a broader question about a policy question about an election model versus the technology or the voting system, and so wasn't sure why that was included or if there was some reason that that was relevant to the type of voting system that was necessary moving forward.
I think you're talking about question 8. Is there another question as well that you're referring to?
Well, there's a few others, like the question about number 2, which is about the type of election that's going to be conducted. I'm not quite sure what that's asking, so it really is a broader question about approach. We can go through each one, and I can kind of raise, or we can take them one by one. But I think it's just a question of what we're trying to get from the survey. And
And also, I think, then, an overview of how these questions were selected just in your process might be helpful, too, is what I heard.
Okay. Well, and again, like Tracy had just mentioned, you know, we took a lot of the data that was provided from the previous surveys, and we're trying not to, you know, load up the recipients for too many what they're going to consider redundant questions. So we're taking that data, setting it to the side, knowing what that is, and then trying to get a different set of data from them to kind of create an overall picture. Number one is, you know, is there any concern that your jurisdiction will not meet the provisions of HB 13-1303 and the Colorado Election Code through 2015? That was really kind of just a general catch-all. It was kind of one of the line items in our project to, you know, see if there was any concern for the current system that are in place as to whether or not they're going to have issues, even though I think that was pretty well answered in the surveys that we've already gotten from the state.
Go ahead. And I think that one might be one where it would be helpful to break out the plans for the 2013 coordinated election, which has not yet happened, versus 2014 and 15, because my understanding is that the counties have indicated that for the general election, there are additional capacities that need to be in place, but for this year's coordinated election, it may be different. So maybe for that first question, breaking out this year versus future years so that the responses are a little bit more nuanced in terms of what the needs are.
Okay.
And Hillary.
And I had also on that, just I know it's a technology equipment survey, but I would just, again, restate that in the question, that it's about your technology. What are your technology concerns? As we go broad.
Cindy.
Thank you. My concern has to do with the ability for our, especially our smaller counties, to meet the needs of their disabled voters. And do we have any information from these counties on problems they've run in utilization of these voting types or the technologies associated with them that presents a problem with them, with their ability to comply with ADA regulations or access issues? And I don't know how we get at that, but I don't want to overlook that component.
Right. I think the previous surveys touched on that pretty well. I know there were questions asked, you know, what kind of all the different pieces of equipment that they had. Did they feel like they had enough? Did they have extra? Were they willing to loan or rent or sell to other counties and that type of thing? I was feeling that was kind of covering that type of thing. Do you feel like there needs to be a little bit more follow-on to that?
Thank you. I guess I'm not as concerned about the type of equipment they're using, but the process and the technology, the applications that we're using to get the disabled community to participate in these elections either by mail-in ballot or by in-person voting, are we running into any problems with the application that we're using on these technologies that make it difficult to comply?
One of the things that we had talked about, and maybe Mark,
Tracy, I'm just going to ask you to speak really close to the mic for the people on
Mark
the phone.
Mark and I had talked about this, and I probably need to bring Mike up to speed, is that we would like to get these surveys out as quickly as possible. We didn't include a lot of disability, one, because I think that the previous surveys included some questions around that, and then the other is that we would like to reach out to, I don't have my notes with her name on it, someone that spoke last week. Okay, and thank you. And we'd like to get her contact information. I have your card with me, and we're going to reach out to you so that we could get some very specific questions and also some people that you think would be good to ask those questions of and do kind of a separate survey in that regard to disability. Because I don't want to tie up this one from getting delivered when we can spend a little bit more time with you to get those questions.
Great, I think that's a super idea. I do wonder, as we are, is that us? Oh, that's just outside. Okay, I was like, are they coming to get us? No, I don't think so, not yet. Keep talking and they will come and get me for sure. That if today or if the commission is going to have some time, if let's say there was a question that did seem helpful and hasn't been answered, that the commission might have some questions that they would like to add to this. Is that possible?
Oh, sure.
If that, okay,
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
So keep thinking about that, commission members on the phone and here in person, if there's something else that we might want to vet today.
Maybe we could have a quick timeline on that.
Sorry, yeah.
This is Jesse again. If the commission could have a quick approval of this or anything else added, and just put a date, like we need it by, you tell us, close of business tomorrow or...
I think Mike had said before that we were looking at having this sent out tomorrow, but we could delay it one day, you know, have you guys take a look through it, add anything else, and give us your approval on it, and we can look to send it out that following day. So maybe by the end of day tomorrow?
Well, we could say tomorrow. We could say end of day Wednesday.
Wednesday?
End of day Wednesday would be good.
Okay. Does that work for people to be able to? So that works for you, but what we want to make sure, I think I heard in Jesse's question is, so what's going to happen here? Let's say we add one or two questions, people like them or don't like them, and now we have maybe 10 questions, and then I come up with a question that I think is fabulous. I send it to you and also have to send it to every other commission member so we all approve that that question should be added or not added with that. So I think if we can wait till Wednesday, end of business day, that probably would be. But for us, I'm wondering if we have to, by Tuesday, business day, any questions that need to be vetted would have to be done then they would go back to you. Does that make sense to people? Okay.
So once you've done the approval, could one of you send it over to us? Is that what you're saying? Is that then all those questions would be added, it would be approved, and then we would get a copy of what has been approved by you?
Great. Steve, can you handle that for all of us?
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. Hillary has a question.
Is it also possible, though, so those are additional questions.
Right.
Are we going to be able to, I still think there's issues with some of the current questions.
I think that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be what we end up with today and what we approve, and then these would be additional questions. But I'm hoping we'll have an approval of these, the slate of questions that we want to go forward today in this discussion. Melinda, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to just go back into the list. And questions 2 through 4 that talk about the elections that were conducted in 2013, it seems to me from reading it, this is an attempt, the question is about elections conducted prior to the implementation of the new model. So not the coordinated election that will be held this November, but if there were elections held earlier this year, and I don't know, this may be more of a question for Hillary or Fran, if it seems like that may be the case that there were county-conducted elections, but there may not have been. Is the goal to get a comparison in terms of technology? Because I think some of that we already have, but
yeah, that,
like
that
2013
was
might not be the right time horizon. And
yeah, I probably should have phrased it more be like your last conducted election or something. It was just, like you said, to get an idea of what are the counties used to doing versus what are they kind of being expected to do going forward? Just trying to get that mindset.
So it seems like, and I don't know how best to frame it, but the general election was one where counties had to conduct it using all options in the, you know, traditional, they could do a polling place or a vote center, but then they also maintained the mail ballot list. If the idea is to understand during that time period, it seems like we should just say for 2012, what technology did you use and how did you do that? If we go back to 2011, there would be the option to do a mail ballot versus a polling place option, polling place election, but that seems like that would be less helpful. So maybe we revise 2 and then 3 and 4, we would just have to say, you know, what equipment was used for mail ballot processing versus the in-person voting option, whether that was the polling place or the vote center or something like that. And I don't know.
This is Fran. I totally agree with that statement. I had this as a question mark in my mind. 2013, there is nothing to compare with. 2012 would be an excellent one. So question 2 through 4 should be a 2012 election.
Great. And then, Hillary, do you have something to add?
Well,
to
I do
that
wonder
as well?
If there's value in 11 and the primary, because it also shows that people have done mail ballot elections with service centers and that it, that the equipment is similar to that. So I do think there's, as far as a snapshot goes, to see who's conducted mail ballots and who hasn't and when and what size, which that would give us.
Okay.
Again,
Fran, again, I totally agree with Hillary's statement. We need to have that comparison, too.
Great. So, Michael and Tracy, do you feel comfortable with that feedback, that you can get that down?
Okay. Yep.
Super. Is there on any other questions, to any of the other questions?
Hi, I've got more. I'm sorry. For question number 5, talking about ballot on demand, it seems like that's in contrast to counties that prefer to print the ballot stock in advance, which makes sense. Some counties would prefer to use ballot on demand, others wouldn't. I don't know if there's a way to express that there is an alternative to ballot on demand that some counties may choose to utilize, because reading this, it seems like it doesn't really acknowledge that there is the, you know, the paper-based option to make sure that there are ballots available versus the technology, you know, the machine-based option. So is there a way to, you know, how important is ballot on demand? Or, you know, does your county prefer to prepare stock in advance? Just something that outlines that there are 2 options that counties may use, that it's not just, you know.
Okay, yeah, I guess I had it in my mind when I wrote that, that, you know, that was kind of the legacy way of always having done it, was pre-printing everything, with ballot on demand being something a little bit newer. So I was just wondering how many counties had adapted it to it and, you know, embraced it. But maybe it does make sense to kind of throw that comparison.
Hillary.
I would broaden that a bit, just asking counties what their strategy is going to be for this year and next year, because I think some of the larger counties will actually be using a hybrid where, you know, for a center in a certain locale, you would probably pre-print the popular ballot styles and then have on demand for the people who you may not be anticipating to show up there, depending on the volume and how long your ballot takes to print and how many printers you would need. So right. It's a little, if we want that type of information, which right. I feel is more useful in understanding the issues of implementing this bill, I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Is there any, on any other questions, do we have some need for clarification?
I think number 8, did we speak to that? It seems kind of, we have the model that we're checking the technology against. It's already been decided in 1303, so I'm not I don't know if I understand what the intent of that question is.
Well, there were actually 2 reasons. One being that we didn't know that there had been a selection of the voting implementation when I wrote that question. And then 2, it was just really kind of, I guess, also the original thought was to get the each county's mindset on what do they like, you know, versus what's going to be implemented into the future. So is it really necessary? Probably not. We could probably strike that.
I would recommend, I think it's more just understanding the issues I think they'll face would be more helpful with their current equipment.
Great. Cindy.
I also have problems with questions 6 and 8. I think they're vague, and I'm not sure they draw out the information you really intend to draw out. My issue, or the thought I have on number 8, if your intent is to determine by their preference where they see shortfalls in their current systems in maybe each of these election types to identify what parts of their technologies are have presented problems in the past. And maybe we just need to ask that. Have you found...
Cindy, could you get closer to the microphone?
Have please? You found difficulty in using your current technologies to implement any of these election types, election models, if that's what we're really trying to determine, is what improvements do we need to make in the technology to help them utilize all of these election models better, because I think they're going to be utilizing all of them in different formats. And in number six, I think that causes negative issues is very, very vague, and I'd like us to tailor that a little more specifically to the types of information we're trying to draw out.
Is there any recommendation on that six of what that would look like then?
I almost wonder with six. Yeah, it is. It's the vague. Seven kind of is the opposite, coming at that same question from the opposite side. Because one of the challenges is our systems are what they are, and they're certified at the national level. So even if there are issues, so maybe it's, you know, issues with your current system in relationship to implementing the new election model. I don't know on that one, because it's there's not a lot. We don't have a lot of choice, but how we use that information.
Cindy, do any of these questions specifically address the issue of implementation of the voting models with current technology, where these counties see the gaps? Identify what the gaps are in utilization of the current technologies in implementing these models. And if that's the question, let's ask it like that.
And I don't know if anybody has any on this commission the ability to answer that question, but just for background, which you may not know, that might be helpful to you. So the Clerks Association, which has the I think 63 of the 64 counties are members, and that they endorse this bill by 75% of that County Clerks Association, and so they were integral in part of their membership, and some of their leadership were integral to putting the bill together, and then they had that opportunity to give feedback, and so just that gives you a little bit of an idea that there was a tremendous amount of support and input as we walk through the bill.
Okay.
So did I see another question from anybody? Elena.
Sure. So I think to Representative Acree's point, I feel like number one, as we talked about reworking it, gets to that, which is, you know, are there implementation issues either in 13 or 14 and beyond? Mm-hmm. It does feel like, though, there is a different question around 6, if there's a way to tighten it, which is things that the system's not really set up or designed to do, but, the clerks will make it work because they have to, but is there something looking ahead that needs to be changed? And maybe, to Hillary's point, maybe number 7 gets there, and it's just maybe combining them to say, you know, what functionality that doesn't exist in the current system would you like to see added? Because I think it's sort of implied in number 7, you know, what features that implies something not currently being met, so maybe it's just being a little more explicit, because I think there is a different question. They'll make it work, but what going forward would make it optimal, and how do we get at that question? And maybe there's some way with 6 and 7 to do that.
Great. Does that, Michael, seem like something you could get the language around?
Yeah, so basically you're wanting me to combine 6 and 7 into one kind of more comprehensive question.
Yeah, I think, just using 6 to kind of set up 7, so looking forward what features you want based on shortcomings or limitations of the current system.
Right. Great. And as we're reworking a lot of these questions, I think it's going to be really helpful that after you work the edits that we're talking about today, if maybe at the end of today we could get that, so then we're looking at it, also looking at the edits as well as any additional questions, so we have tomorrow to do that. So that'd be fantastic.
Sure, no problems.
So this is everybody's last chance for any edits on what we currently have, or if you've thought of anything else that we need to cover that's not covered in the 9 questions that we have before us.
Well, and you'd have another chance for edits as soon as we will update this, send it over to you, and then you can take a look at it again, maybe think about it overnight and add anything else that comes up.
Anything else? Okay.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we are to our goals and mission discussion. Does anyone want to jump in and start?
Well, I think we put this. I think we put this item. This is Suzanne. I think we put this item on the agenda because of some discussions we've been having at the commission regarding the future duties. I know we've all been busy with the two reports that were due, one on top of the other. But there's been sort of a fundamental. Well, I'll start and say that when I read the bill, it looks to me like the job of the commission is to essentially put out these reports, and that's how they're evaluating the implementation of the bill. But other activities that have happened within the commission, it seems that maybe the commission believes its goal is something different, and we should probably talk about that and figure out what those goals are so that we can understand how to staff the commission and what it is the commission is looking for in the future.
Great, thank you. And I think that's a kind of sets that up for our discussion. What I would also, as a Senate sponsor, I feel to be able to give some of the intent that that I had in this bill, that we establish this commission as a two-year committee that will guide all the aspects of the technical implementation of 1303. Also, I think my intent was that this would be a working group, ongoing working group that would be committed to making sure that this bill is implemented so that we have full access for voters and administrators. So we knew that it was, obviously when you have a 128-page bill, the ramifications to this and it's going to be ongoing. And again, as I think we talked at the beginning, and as you could see when you look at the bill, that I mean, it's like we started at 2016 when you're going to have a high turnout and backed it all the way up to the less participation in voters. And so there was just so much thought as we went through this, but it was that this commission would not only on the technical part, but a broader range of how we get to make sure that this is the ultimate goal, which is to increase opportunities for voters. And then with the modernization piece, all the technology that is now available, that would not make it, we could clear up any issues for administrators as we work our way through. That was some of my, as far as my intent, and I don't know if other people who watch the process that are on this commission have some other thoughts about that.
Well, and I guess my one response to that would be, and obviously we were not involved in the drafting, but I think the broadest language comes in subsection 5 of this section of the bill, where it says the commission shall evaluate the implementation of the act. And I think there's a big difference between evaluate and I think the word you used was guide. You know, to the extent that it's an evaluation of a process that's ongoing within the agency, I think maybe you could get to that place. But I don't know that we, under this bill, I mean, I don't think our office can support any interpretation that would allow this commission to essentially guide the implementation. We have a specific rulemaking process for rules. We have other processes for other areas where we implement things within the law. So that's really the issue I've had. I don't necessarily have a problem with the ongoing evaluation and continuing to support the committee and bring in staff members as we've done in the past, but I think we need to be clear about, from the commission's perspective, what role it believes it has in those types of processes that I think are otherwise set out by law.
Elena.
So
As I look at the legislation, I think that the commission's authority comes in part from 6C, which talks about taking recommendations based on the needs assessments. I'm concerned if we just do the reports, we identify all of these issues and we identify all of these things that require further action, and then we don't actually do that second piece, which is continuing the ongoing dialogue with the state and the counties to figure out how to do that. And I think that were we to just put those reports, you know, give them to state affairs, put them on a shelf, that we would be missing that second piece of our role, which is the recommendations piece. I read that as being separate from the reports themselves and something that would be ongoing work beyond just issuing the reports, you know, on the schedule that's outlined in statute. So I do think there's a broader role for this commission, and just the conversations we've had after the first report and the different needs that came up in that, I think that there's a significant role for us moving forward.
Thank you. Hillary.
I would support what you said, Senator Haron, and again, looking at five of evaluate, and then it's how to do that in a way that's within the law, but also does look at the implementation of this bill. And there are a lot of moving parts, and this is seems like the group to discuss all those, because it's, you know, you have the counties that are on are implementing it one level, the state, and then there's the voters and the interest groups that are also impacted by this new model. And the way for us to implement it most successfully is to have this collective group, and what the intent of this commission was to oversee that. So I support that approach, and then finding out how to do that in a way that works.
Okay.
With
Cindy.
The Secretary of State's office.
I agree with the evaluation and make recommendations piece. I think there's a difference between make recommendations and guiding. I think we are, according to the language in the bill, we serve as an assessment body and do have the authority to make recommendations. We don't have any authority to act on any of those recommendations, but I do believe it could be within the purview of this commission to make recommendations to the legislature for legislation that might help clarify or implement this bill more fully, to assess the technology as it clearly states, and to look at the implementation during the 2014 election. So I think recommendations are fine. I don't know how we would, under this bill, serve any other purpose in terms of formal guidance.
Anybody else have any
comments? Bob Rankin, to the I've Bob. Talked. Yeah, I've talked some in the past about my sort of project management view of this task. I think that, you know, falling back to that, kind of an overview for me is it's our job to make sure that we identify through whatever mechanism the reports are, that we've talked about the mock election, various inputs from clerks, you know, that we identify as all of the potential problems, or at least as many as we can, and we make those public so that, you know, all parties know that we believe there are potential problems, and then that we get reports back on what the resolution of those are. I think that's fits within the role, as I read it, of the commission, and it's kind of, at least for me, an overview of what our task is, you know, that is implementation. Now, we've agreed, I think, that that goes beyond pure technical based on some of the language, because we early on agreed that the rules would be in our purview, and then of course that for me then transitions into what, you know, we keep hearing that some new legislation is required, and as those issues take shape and become legislation, of course I'll be very interested in that through my role. So, you know, that's sort of my view of it. I think identifying the problems and looking at what we think the resolution of those problems is our ongoing task.
This is Fran. I happen to agree with the rest of the commission's, you know, idea on this. We are to make recommendations. We did this first assessment report, and now it just went to legislation and is sitting there. What are they going to do with it? They're looking for recommendations, and how can we make recommendations if we don't follow through and know, you know, okay, this is a problem area. What is going to be done to help rectify that? Again, I would really like to see us use that assessment as the tool, the mechanism to move forward with the technology, with the best practices. Those were the, you know, the two main ideas in that assessment report that came out of there, that we have some areas of concern and we need to address that, bring those two together, have the Secretary of State's office, they have a great team, so you know, they have some great people coming out with ideas. Put those ideas out there so that we know what they are before they try to implement them, so we can watch the implementation, make sure it's going right.
Great. Any other comments? Jesse.
Thanks. Yes, I would just echo that and the other comments that came before, and remind people that when the legislature passed the bill, it was due to the enormity of the bill. This is a special commission to oversee the implementation of a very complicated piece of legislation, and it is unique and it is huge, and that's part of the task of the commission, is to oversee the implementation of the bill in its whole, which is very large. So I would just add that in addition to what Representative Rangan and Hillary and the other commissioners said, is that this is a special bill, and this was a piece of it to make sure that it could be implemented from the front end. And that I see a number of issues, not just, you don't just issue a report, you're responsible for making sure that things go well, and we have a role here. We also have so many resources with between this commission and what used to be the SCORE Oversight Board, the best practice, what is it called?
Now it is?
Yes.
It's the business practice group.
The business practice group should be very intimately involved when there are really key mechanical changes or major things being pushed out to the counties or through the Secretary of State, so that we're utilizing their expertise and their experience, because they've got a lot of it, and they know how to deal with a number of the things that are in the bill, and to ignore the opportunity that they present as far as the wealth of knowledge that they have would be a huge mistake when we're talking about a piece of legislation this size.
Richard.
Madam Chairman, Richard Westfall for the folks that are on the phone.
Can you hear me now? Yes. Richard Westfall, for the folks that are on the phone. I'm going back and I'm looking at Section 6 of the bill that Elena referred to, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's our charge is to prepare two reports and to prepare recommendations based upon those reports. We're also supposed to evaluate the technology under subparagraph D for the 2014. From a standpoint of our legal authority is set forth in the statute, which is to make recommendations and to issue these reports. The only lawmaking bodies are the Secretary of State that implements election rules, and the committees that we're to report to that are set forth at the beginning of Section 6. So maybe I'm reading too much or too little into this, but I think the bill is drafted pretty clearly as to what our charge is.
Thank you, Richard. And I guess one thing that I would say, again, as the Senate sponsor, is that, you know, we did give very specific tasks that we expected the commission to fulfill, but I don't think there's anything in the bill or otherwise that precludes the commission's involvement in any or all aspects of this implementation. I mean, we really recognize that, and when we put the who would be at this table was knowing that we were going to work through some things. And as I think Representative Rankin said, that so we're going to get a report and then not say anything back, like how we're going to process that through. So I just, I think at this point maybe there is some different interpretation, which the attorneys at the table probably are used to, the different interpretations of what you're looking at. But I would say that, I mean, I'd almost ask for, is there any other input? And then, you know, what are people's thought? Is it the broader view of working through this, as Jesse said, complicated and far-reaching implementations of this bill? Elena?
Well, I feel like 6C does give us, I mean, recommendations, you know, it's in the context of the reports, but I think that gives us a pretty broad charge. If you think about the needs assessment, you know, the first one, what was in that, I think that gives us plenty of space to take on the broader implementation role we're all talking about. And I don't think there's any question about our authority, and that ultimately it's, you know, the Secretary of State through rule, the legislature through law, whatever, but to continue playing that guiding role, pulling together the various stakeholders, whether it's administrators or members of the public or community advocacy groups, whomever, to make sure that the different decision points are decided upon in a way that, you know, really furthers the intent of the bill. So I think that the language does set us up for a very broad reading and gives us the room to make sure that we can take on the tasks that we need to.
Any other comments? Martha.
Martha Tierney. I agree with Elena, and I don't hear much difference. I mean, even Richard's comments, I think, are consistent with those comments. So I'm just going on record that I agree with Richard.
Oh, sure, Richard. You're in trouble now, mister.
These moments are
rare.
Can
I take back whatever I said? I'm not even sure what I said at this point.
So is there anybody on the
Never mind.
Phone? He takes that all back. Anybody on the phone that has any other comments? So I would say I'm hearing a consensus that it is a broader view and we'll be able to proceed, that those are recommendations that we'll be able to make and then work through those. Is there any...
Well, this
does that help us define our mission?
Yeah, this Suzanne. Is Suzanne again, and that's fine if this commission wants to proceed that way. I guess the thing that I would ask is, and this probably isn't the appropriate time, but I think at some point we need to put together then some sort of work plan because, you know, I want to avoid what happened last Monday. I mean, an episode like that again, where we're just adding on some ad hoc issue that you know is not planned before the commission. It doesn't add anything to making positive recommendations about the bill. It just serves to further divide, you know, people's viewpoints. And so, you know, I think the office is happy to support that mission to the extent that we feel it's really to do something positive and that our feedback is being requested because people actually want to hear it, not because... you know, people want to pick it apart and tell us why it's wrong. I've tried really hard not to do that. I don't think I have said anything, you know, contrary, except that, you know, this office is here to implement this bill. That's what we're here to do. We haven't, you know, done anything at this commission that would, I think, signal otherwise. And so I just want to make sure that if that's what we're going to do, that we put it in a work plan and that we all try to move forward in a positive direction. You know, we want to hear what the clerks have to say. We want to hear what the electeds have to say. We want to hear what the people have to say. And we hope that that is true on the other side, too, and that the information that we bring is here so that people can move forward in a positive direction. And I think it would be easier to do if we had a work plan and we had... you know, missions and goals and things in mind so that we could start working toward those.
Great, thank you. There's a couple of comments. Jesse and then Hillary.
So I just want to speak to the first part of your statement. That was on the agenda. And if you didn't like that a person was called from the audience to provide additional information on an agenda item that was listed a day in advance, I mean, maybe you just didn't like her testimony. But to cast it in such a dramatic light that it was not done in the right way, I mean, I said it that day. There was information that I was presented with that I had no idea about, would have never known unless she was asked to speak. So I would appreciate it if that tone got toned down, because that's not how I saw that happening at all. And in the future, I think if we can come on the front end of a meeting and address the agenda, just make very clear. But I didn't feel like that stoked any fires from the commission's point of view. I wanted to hear what they had to say. And as far as a work plan is concerned, we meet every single week, and we've been taking things every kind of day at a time and enough days in between when the agenda and the materials are produced prior to the next meeting to at least digest them and review them. Until it seems to mellow out a little bit where we can take things, you know, way far in advance, I think that it's kind of an ad hoc commission. I mean, by definition, we're coming together every week to address the issues that are here every week. And so if something is coming up in the timeline of the election that has to do with implementing this bill, and we feel like we need to address it, we should address it. And if that doesn't live in a work plan, I mean, we can make a work plan, but I just want to be careful we're not taking time, you know, death by committee, right? You're actually dealing with the issues at hand.
Hillary, and then we'll go Cindy and then Elena.
Yeah, and I think it points out why this conversation is so important, is there's content and there's process, and we didn't have a process established for how we bring information to the commission. I thought it, you know, was on the agenda, and it was part of the picture. And going forward, so I think that's what, how, when we have an agenda item, you know, how do we make sure that it's broad enough to get perspective from all of those who are involved with that particular item, and that I would love to hear, you know, is it during public comment? If they're not specifically invited, do we, you know, do we list ahead of time? I mean, someone said, you know, 24 hours. I don't care what that part of the process is. It's just how do we get the information that we all need to hear together so that everyone feels like they can have a say in what's going on as well.
Great, and I appreciate that, Hillary. And again, as I try to convey, when I was on the phone and I wasn't here, and it's a very different experience if you haven't been trying to be a member of a commission from a phone. But I do think that, I said that on the phone, is that I really believe that we all want to be able to cooperate with each other. We understand that we want voters to have access in the best possible way, and we want the administrators, which are a lot about our county clerks and the Secretary of State's office. And so we, you know, at the foundation, we want the same things. So, but communication is key. And so I do think that that kind of gave us a couple missteps because that we hadn't had that process lined out. So, and I think that'll help us when we could say, so when there's something that may or may not be included in an agenda item, how do we go about that? And so if there's anybody has any thoughts about what would be the best way for that to take place so people feel like they're coming prepared to a meeting with the agenda on hand, and I don't know if that was part of the issue last time. So does anyone have any thoughts about how we would add agenda items after we usually set the agenda at like today, we'll set it for next week at the end of the meeting. But there will be things. The stuff is going pretty quickly here. And of course, when we put the bill together, we weren't thinking about recall elections either. And so that just added a whole nother element. And I'll go on the record as saying that, you know, I was hoping that we wouldn't have recall elections. But anyway, so does anyone have some thoughts about how we might do that? Cindy.
I don't think the Secretary of State's office or anybody on this commission objects to the collection of information. And I think we all are not too naive that we don't recognize there's going to be things that pop up we didn't anticipate that may not be on the agenda. But if they are issues that require discussion, then maybe we just immediately put it on the agenda for next time when we can plan our time and have those discussions and have time to get additional information so we can have an educated discussion. But my concern is that we get bogged down in the weeds here and not move forward. And I don't want us to overlook the fact that we want the input from everyone. We want to hear the information that could be pertinent to whatever part of this bill that we're trying to implement. But I do think it's prudent that we have time to assimilate all the information, to have a reasonable discussion. So and it's not uncommon in these types of meetings that you put things table discussions for another meeting, but by no means prohibit them from coming forward.
Great. And
this is Bob Rankin. Can I wade in? I think it's time. We're starting to develop sort of a list of issues and problems, and we ought to just basically start a spreadsheet or a checklist of those. And, for example, the change of address implementation would be an issue or potential problem on that list. And if we just had an agenda item every week to look over that list and sort of status where we were in resolving those issues, then that would open up the discussion if somebody wanted to comment on, you know, where we are on a particular issue. I think that going forward, you know, that's really ought to be our work plan, is that, you know, we ought to put any potential problem we see on that list. And as we get closer, that list may turn into specific system discrepancies, things that we know don't work in SCORE or the voter system, and we want to track those. They're much, much more technical and lower level of detail. But right now, we would have, like, a checklist. I think we've talked about security, making sure the counties are all implementing the security rules and everything. We've talked about change of address. We've talked about training. those are things that we could just have on our check sheet for open issues. And if somebody wanted to comment on progress or, you know, some additional insight on one of those issues every week, that would just be an agenda item. You know, that checklist would actually be an agenda item.
This is Fran. I happen to agree with Bob. We have identified through the assessment that we've already done some very definite issues, and I would like to see some updates from both the Best Practices Committee and from the Secretary of State's office. You know, there was identified that there's some updates, some things that need to be done with SCORE and the CICDRIST model. What are those things specifically, and what is their time frame for implementation? I'd like to see that on a weekly agenda in the update before they happen.
Great. Elena?
Great. Thank you. I guess to the first point about how do we craft the agenda, to me the question is how do we make sure as we're thinking about it, we are making sure we're soliciting all the input that we want. It seems to me when we were first meeting, we relied heavily on Secretary of State staff to brief us on various issues because we were getting up to speed. As we're now moving more into implementation, it feels like there's a role to bring in other perspectives as well to kind of get the full picture. So on the NCOA conversation, for example, I thought it made sense to hear from Denver about their experience, but I would have also liked to hear from a small county about what they got from the secretary and how they found the training and what they thought moving forward would be helpful. And it may be that the report back would have been really we're waiting for August because there's going to be some modifications, but having that broader perspective I think would be helpful. So as we craft the agenda, maybe taking some time to think through who are the folks we want to provide input so we're not just doing updates and then realizing there's more information to be gathered. And then to the work plan piece, I think it's important, as Representative Rankin has said, that we go back to those needs assessments and make sure that all of the items we've identified, that we figure out some way to keep them before us. So I like the idea of a schedule or a work plan or an agenda item or something like that. I also, though, don't want to lose Jesse's point, which is that as we talk, there are things that come up that need to be that just need to be dealt with. So making sure that we leave enough flexibility that we are dealing with immediate needs and then also working through issues that are important but may not be as high priority in the moment to make sure that we don't lose them until they are high priority and urgent. So having that balance between working through the list but then also responding to things that are more short term.
Thank you. That was a nice summary, Helena. Is there any other, either on the phone or here in person? So I really do think what Elena said was a pretty good summary of people's concerns and ideas of how to address this. So, but I don't know if that needs to be further spelled out, or do people feel like we can move forward with that nice summary from Elena?
This is Martha. I would support that summary as described by Elena and think that would be a great way to move forward.
Great. Anybody not support that? Doesn't sound like anybody on the phone, and nobody here has any objections to that. So I think that was helpful, and I just think, again, I would just say we've had some growing pains, but I think this discussion today and some, the clarification is going to help us move forward. So are we now on to the review of the proposed new election rules? And Suzanne, who's doing that? Is it from the Secretary of State's office?
I think we had just advised that we had put these out, and I'm not sure if this was put on for some. We've already had a formal presentation on rules, so I don't know if the committee was just going to discuss this, or I don't really remember the context.
Steve?
There was a request of the commissioners to have a week to review the proposed rules changes and then have discussion this week. So it was listed as an agenda item this week.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. So is there any comments or clarifications needed on the rules? Go ahead, Martha.
This is Martha Tierney. I am partway through my review of the 200-plus pages of rule rewrites,
And so I'm not quite ready to give feedback about all of them yet. I'm wondering if those who have, who are ready could do that today if they want to, but could we also put it again on our agenda for the next meeting or two meetings from now, whatever people think would be the right timing?
This is Bob Rankin. I'm, you know, having no basis of ever read these rules before, it's kind of bewildering to read 200 pages of them, to tell you the truth. But I know that I've talked to my own clerks, and I know they're wading through them as well. And I just wonder what our process is for, are we going to look at the comments that the clerks themselves come back with, you know, or are we expected to have our own opinions about the rules? I mean, what's the process for reviewing these, gathering all inputs? As we've been discussing earlier, we need to get inputs from all possible sources on these kinds of issues.
I think that was a great point, Bob, for some of us non-county clerk people. Plus, I think I even saw Hillary shaking her head that she was looking to have some kind of process and timeline on this. But I'll let Hillary talk about that.
Yeah, I guess that's my question, is what, you know, what is the role of the commission with the rules?
Hillary, could you get closer to the mic?
Sorry, yep. What is the role of the commission with the rules? And, I mean, obviously it impacts implementation. You know, do we listen to what others are said? I mean, I'm not, I would love some discussion on that, of, because we don't really have a, well, I don't know what our role is
right
in relationship to the rules.
Suzanne, can you provide some thoughts about that?
Well, the Secretary's office has, in accordance with the Administrative Procedure Act, a formal rulemaking process. We're not in that process yet. These rules were actually released the same day everybody saw them, was the same day I saw them, the same day the Secretary saw them. They were released to give the public the maximum amount of time to give comment back before we actually put out the draft. So I believe the draft is coming out later this week. Internally within the Secretary's office, we're having daily meetings to talk about the public feedback we get. So even though we're not in formal rulemaking, we did request any feedback, and we're also having multiple meetings with the clerk's legislative, the County Clerks Association Legislative Committee, which has included some of the appointees to that commission, and then the clerks at large. We've already made a substantial number of changes just based on the feedback we've gotten there. We've gotten public feedback. Any feedback that we get, we post on our rulemaking page for everybody. And then once we enter formal rulemaking, there'll then be a comment period, and we anticipate that the hearing is actually going to be sometime in mid-September. I can't remember the exact date, but we have it scheduled for an entire day of public comment, and then we'll go back and review again the comments that we have there. And we anticipate this is truly a very working document. We don't think we got it right the first time. We're, you know, looking at, you know, how do other people see it affecting them. We did meet, maybe I'll just wrap this into the briefing that we had on the recall. We did meet with Clerk Ortiz and Clerk Williams in El Paso and Pueblo County last week, and tried to put some of the rules into kind of a sheet that would describe things that needed to be implemented right away for the purpose of that election. And so we had a really good discussion with them, made some changes to our anticipated rules just based on that discussion. And that document will then be out, I think, tomorrow for the public and for the two clerks. And going through that with them, we didn't have any objections at the end. And there's one adjustment that will be made to score going into the what used to be the early voting period. So I guess to answer your question, we have a very open process. I'm not sure what this commission's role, if the commission wants to make formal recommendations on the rulemaking. Certainly we would accept those as we accept any you know, any other organization or person's comments.
Okay. That was helpful. Okay. So I think it Suzanne, you might have said it and I didn't hear it. Is there like the timeline for that? So if we had this for another couple times on the on our agenda, or help me with the timeline, probably set up.
Yeah, probably any time that people wanted to go ahead and make comment, because again, we're not in that formal process yet. Once we put out the draft, we can take comment all the way through the date of the hearing, which may be the 16th of September, so that's quite a ways out. And then generally, we leave the hearing period and comment period open for a while after the hearing. So it may be appropriate to make comments before, if the commission has any, and then also perhaps based on some of the things that we hear at the hearing, make comments after the draft is out. So either way, I know there's going to be a lot of changes to just what we've put out already prior to publication. And I think it's the end of this week we're publishing.
Great. So we do have some time. Richard.
Madam Chairman, so that's when you're anticipating issuing the notice of the proposed rulemaking is the end of this week?
I believe that's right, because I think we said that we wanted to put it out last Friday to give at least 10 days. So I'm thinking that must be, it's been out a week now. So it must be sometime this week, the formal notice.
Great. Well, that was helpful. Martha.
Thank you. Suzanne, I think you just said that the feedback you've gotten thus far is posted. Can you help those of us who can't find it? To where it might be.
Suzanne.
I'll have to have Andrea send you the link for that. It should be under the rulemaking page. And I'll have her send you the link. The feedback we've gotten from the County Clerks Association, I don't believe has been published because those have been mostly conference calls. And I know we have, someone told me, 9 pages of notes on issues, implementation issues to incorporate. And we just added a member to our election staff who was the former elections director in Pitkin County. So he's been sort of spearheading the note-taking and some of the more technical on-the-ground aspects for us.
That would be great. I don't see it on the formal rulemaking page, and maybe that's because it's not in formal rulemaking yet. There might be another place where it's located.
And so maybe that link could go out to everybody.
Yeah, Steve, commission. Can you see if you can find that? Thanks.
It's under the help shape rules.
Oh, help shape rules. Okay.
I see it. Thank you.
Great. So if anyone would like to make any comments now on the proposed new rules, you can do that. But also, I guess I kind of heard, Suzanne, in what you were saying. I mean, even as an individual, we could send that in, too. But maybe what we'll do is there may be some parts of it that people want to have a further conversation here on the commission, so we can do that, too. So maybe we'll leave it on for the next at least a couple times on our agenda the next couple weeks and then see if we need to do it any further than that. But
sure.
Great. Hillary.
Question. So, and if, would it be useful to hear from others as part of public hearing when we do that, or do we want to invite anyone to be part of the rule when we discuss rulemaking as an agenda item, just kind of going with the other point? What would the commission prefer on that? Because I know there's those that would love for the commission to hear. And I think it'd be fair to wait until at least the next round, because I know they've been great about the conference calls with the mm-hmm. Statute Review Committee.
Great. No, I for one, as a commissioner, would love to be able to have them come and do that. I'm always more information for me. Okay. Cindy.
I'm just curious, when you're talking about inviting people to come and talk about the rules, are we going to duplicate the hearings on the rules or public comment on the rules? Are we...
Well, my thought behind that is it might be useful to take, you know, maybe some of the larger, you know, policy perhaps once or where the commission may want to weigh in as opposed to some of the weedy, you know, 72 hours, 48 hours. And that's where I would look for direction back from. I do feel that the rules are going to be a very big part of implementing House Bill 1303. And for us to not even decide collectively, we are going to say something or we're not going to say something seems to be part of the process.
Elena, and then Cindy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense, once there's the next version, to invite stakeholders to come and share their thoughts about the rules with respect to 1303 implementation. I think we should be limited because there are a lot of other issues that are not, I think, related to the commission that folks may have thoughts about. And whether it's invited for public comment or, you know, presentation or some mix, I don't think it really matters. But I think it does make sense for us to really look at it and see, as a commission, if there are pieces we think are relevant that we would want to comment as a commission. Otherwise, I'm sure many of us individually will be weighing in. But I would say we wait maybe till the notice of formal rulemaking, since there were a lot of things that were being flagged that really are just technical and kind of drafting issues that will just kind of get cleared up as the process evolves.
Cindy. As my concern is, that I certainly think that as a commission, we need to discuss together if we're going to take a position and make recommendations as a commission. But I'm wondering if we shouldn't also try to attend the hearings if we want to get adequate public comment, and who's going to be, and this may go back to rules and procedures internally, who invites speakers to speak on behalf of certain issues if it's not part of the public comment? And do we have to notify the chairman in advance if we are inviting someone to speak in that regard on either a rule or some other issue?
Good question. Jesse.
Thanks. I guess I would say that if we're going to be making recommendations, which I think we should, then having testimony here to help us come to a conclusion on recommendations that we need to make is a wise thing to do. I know the public hearing will probably encompass a lot of what people say here too, but if we're, as a commission, making recommendations, we should have some data presented to us in addition to the rules, just going through them. And as far as people coming and speak, I think any commissioner should be able to call any witness that they want to call, so long as maybe even on the front end of the agenda, if we're all okay with it, then, you know, if there's not much advance notice, but say if Representative Acri wants to call somebody and they just found that morning, then she should be able to say, I'd like Jane Smith to talk about X, Y, and Z, and if we're all right with it, we're all right with it. I think that's fair and enough advance notice.
I guess it's the approval part.
Cindy.
So I believe if we are going to take public comment on the rules, then we need to get that information out there, that at the next meeting, that will be part of the agenda item, that we will be taking public comment specifically on the rules, proposed rules.
Elena.
I would agree. I would just say I think we should push the timeline out, since the rules are so extensive and we know there's another draft coming. Pushing towards the end of the month or, you know, right around Labor Day, either before or after, so that we have time to get that feedback and then come up with a position before the formal rulemaking, just so that we can have a full discussion.
Richard.
Maybe I'm just a little bit, this is Richard Westfall, I'm just a little bit skeptical of essentially being performing a function of almost shadow Secretary of State, conducting a rulemaking hearing in and of our own right and taking a formal position when I think if there's something that we all see in here as commission members that we think, based upon our previous discussions as a commission, touch upon what we're looking at in 1303 implementation and what our role is to issue these technical reports and to make recommendations. Pursuant to the discussion we just had on our mission, goals and missions, I think it's fine, and I think we should be sharing that with the Secretary of State's office and the Deputy Secretary, who's the co-chair of this commission. But for us to actually conduct our own sort of hearings and conduct essentially what would be kind of a shadow rulemaking proceeding, so that we ourselves could adopt a position as a 1303 commission, it strikes me, I'm a little skeptical of that, and I just wanted to share that skepticism.
I agree with you.
Hillary.
Just to be clear, that wasn't the intent was to have, because I get the point. So it's there is still useful information that we may need in evaluating the rules. So maybe if we start ourselves first, and then if we have questions where we feel some more technical information may be useful. I mean, I'm happy to be the source, but I also feel like there's other sources that we may also want to hear from. And so maybe that would be a different approach, because my intent wasn't to duplicate rulemaking hearing. It was just to help add, for the context of the commission, some of the rules conversation, and so that was the intent.
Great, thank you. Richard, go ahead and follow up.
Madam Chair, then picking up on the spirit of what we were talking about before, there's no such thing as bad information. I mean, if there's somebody that can bring something to bear to this group to say, hey, folks, you as a 1303 commission should have some at least be made aware of the following dimensions of the rules, because they do implicate sort of your role as 1303 commissions, then great. I'm happy to hear what that is. But that would, I think, is if it's done in that vein and that spirit, to just sort of inform us, but to sort of for us to conduct our own, I've already expressed my concern on that. So I don't
great.
Want to repeat
myself. Well, Bob Rankin again. I sort of agree with Richard. Maybe the process is that we, as a commission, would isolate those rules or section of rules that we consider implementation oriented, that have, you know, specific bearing on potential problems or issues related to the implementation of the rule, and then when we isolate those, we could restrict our hearings to just that set of the rules.
Elena?
Well, I would tend to agree. I don't think we want to try to duplicate the efforts of the formal rulemaking process, since that's not our role. I do want to make sure, though, that we're creating a space so that if there are people out there who are looking at the rules and want to share a perspective, that we're creating that room for them to do so. We'll know to reach out to the election administrators, for example. So I think we'll get that perspective. But if there's a voter who's reading the rules at home, or someone who's with a community group or something like that who also wants to flag something for us, I think it's important that we be broad enough in how we discuss them that they are part of that conversation, and it's not limited just to those that we invite. But I agree, I think it really needs to be focused on 1303, and with the idea of making sure that we have full information so we can decide if we want to weigh in and if we have consensus to weigh in as part of the formal rulemaking.
Okay. Cindy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the whole purpose of our public comment sections of these meetings is to afford citizens or organizations or other members of this state who have an interest in our voting system to have their voices heard. And I think as we talk about any issue on the agenda, be it the rules or regs or procedure or any other issue, that this microphone is open for that purpose at every meeting. So to just make sure that anyone who's listening who wants to come down and make a comment has that opportunity, I don't think it's necessary we have a public hearing separate from our public comment side, but I do think there may be issues we want to discuss further and to decide whether or not we're going to take a unified stand on, to ask people to come specifically for those issues.
Great. I kind of hear a consensus in that you know, we want to, if there's things that, if we make any recommendation, we want to hear from that, and we don't want to get into the, certainly duplicate or even get into areas that really aren't part of the work that we're trying to do here. So we'll kind of play that, I think, by ear. But so, and Steve stepped out of the room, so maybe we wouldn't even have for the next two agenda, for the next 2 weeks, probably wouldn't even have that on the agenda until there's it's a little further in the process. So I'll we'll remind Steve of that. So the next item on the agenda is recall elections update. Suzanne, you did a little bit, but do you have some more to share with us?
Yeah, I don't think I have a whole lot else except to report on that meeting. And if the commission wants to see a copy of that document, I'll just assume you all would, and we'll send it out when we send it out officially. I think tomorrow, Ben Schler told me it would be put together. So we have been working with them, and I don't think I have any other updates on office-wide activities.
Martha.
Thank you. Given the rulemaking that's about to commence later this week, can you share with us, if you know, whether or not there will be any emergency rules specifically targeted to the recall?
So there won't be any emergency rules, but the document that you get will have an order attached to it. So it will be an order stating, you know, these are the new processes, and some of it's very technical. It has to do with score, and for example, you can't have two screens open at the same time. You have to close your voter registration screen before you open your early voting screen. So some of it's very technical, but some of it's a little bit more general about how to conduct same-day registration, the people who can do that, the training that's required, that kind of thing. So it won't be in the form of a rule. It'll just be an order attached to the procedures.
Do you have a follow-up or anybody else have a...
I have a question, Bob Rankin. There's been some press on that's sort of negative on the issue of being able to vote. I mean, if you allege that you're about to change your address but don't have proof that you actually have. So has anybody read that or any comment on it?
Suzanne? We have, and we have a proposed rule that will sort of pick up some different parts of the bill and incorporate them into one place. I don't think that the law allows that to happen.
That's right.
I think that it's just that you have to look in a couple different places in the statute and sort of connect the dots. And so we have a rule that will connect those dots and essentially state that a person must have that residence in order to declare it. And there is an address locator in the system, which goes in and, you know, locates the address for purpose of figuring out what ballot style to give. So there are a number of things in place to prevent that kind of scenario. I think the problem is that you have to sort of read it all together in order to get there. And when you read one little piece, it looks like maybe you can do this over here and it's not required over there. So I have read that, and we are going to put out a rule making that a little bit more clear and pulling those together.
I really appreciate that, because I know that it is in at least a couple different places, and I've heard the whole idea of the gypsy voting. So I think, gosh, maybe even the Secretary of State, even before the ruling takes place, to be able to, I mean, that wasn't, couldn't take place before, can't take place now, because it's just, it's really frustrating when, you know, there's are very specific provisions to prevent that, because we all don't want that to take place. So, Suzanne, thank you so much for that. And Martha?
In follow-up to that, you know, it's a felony to make false statements about your residence. So if people are, it would be really helpful, I think, if the secretary would put out something about that, because we have county clerks who should be able to read all parts of the statute together and make clear that you can't do that. And fomenting this misinformation out there is really causing, I think, a panic in the electorate, in certain parts of the electorate, which is absolutely not the case. You cannot make false statements about your residency, or you will be subject to a minimum of 1 year in jail. So I could rob a bank tomorrow, but it's against the law. So,
well, I appreciate that, and certainly in light of to be honest, in the intensity about the recall for Pueblo County and El Paso County, it would be helpful to put that out there and to put some people's minds at ease that it's going to be people that are living in those counties that are going to be able to actually vote.
Yeah, and we have not been the source of any of that information, and we've been called on a number of those articles, and we have said what we have said here, but it's just not that interesting of a read, so we don't generally get picked up when we counteract that, because we have to point to, no, if you go look at CRS this and CRS that, and then, you know, that's just not all that interesting. So we have certainly done what we can, but we eventually decided that even though it's just a restatement of the law, it would be best to just put out the rule, and anybody who thought it didn't exist before could at least say, well, there it is in black and white. So,
Is there any, Suzanne, would be any objection to putting a press release? I'll just tell you from my own experience with the media, some will report accurate things, lies of omission, or straight out lies, and or inaccuracies, we should say lies, but intentionally trying to generate media around it. And I think people certainly trust the Secretary of State's office to be able to give that kind of a press release and ruling to say, in fact, that is not without, I mean, obviously you could do it, but you'd be subject to a felony. So that, is there a possibility of actually putting out that, so then that statement's on the record from the Secretary of State's office, which, you know, everyone has a high amount of respect for?
Yeah, and I'll talk to our communications group, because maybe when we put out the procedures tomorrow, that might be a good time to weave that in and then highlight it as a section.
Thank you so much. I personally appreciate that. Martha.
This is Martha Tierney again. I think that would be a really helpful move by the Secretary of State's office. And I didn't mean to in any way suggest that it was your office that was characterizing it that way.
Right. Great. Is there any other items on this or anything else for us today? We are so efficient, and it's 2:30. So, yeah, so everyone has an extra time. Oh, Martha's going to give us something to do. Martha.
I think we just have to put together an agenda for next week.
If you don't put that on for me, Steve, then I don't even have enough sense to say that that's what we need to do. So
at least we can count on Martha over there.
Great. So for Steve, there was nothing I don't think mentioned in here, or did we? Oh, when you left the room, we decided to do the new election rules, maybe not next week, but closer.
Okay, so we will have a business practices subgroup coming up. Will we have a briefing from them on Monday, Hillary? So we'll have that as one item. And then the SLI weekly update would be the first item on the agenda. And if you're not planning on discussing rules next week, those would be the two agenda items that we have at the moment.
Hillary.
So I'm wondering, we talked about, I think Representative Rankin talked about, and everyone kind of agreed with, what's that list of items to check regularly in on. Perhaps if we could spend some time, what are those items that we, you know, from the first assessment we had, just, and then spend some time discussing how we want to, what we want to check in on when.
So kind of our updates, kind of a cleanup updates on the agenda, what those would look like. Cindy.
No, we have talked a lot about what we have heard that the county clerks think and their opinions on different issues, but we really haven't had a chance to talk to the county clerks themselves. And if we have meetings where we have extra time available on our agenda, I really would like to hear from county clerks that are willing to come down and talk with us about concerns they have as we implement this bill.
Just concerns?
The things that they either experienced in the past that were problematic for them, or fears they have as we go forward. I just think for us to make assumptions on third-party feedback is a little bit problematic. And I know we're counting on the needs assessment to cover a lot of that, but it would be nice to hear from them directly.
And I would just broaden that, because I think that it's what do they also see working with this bill, and what are they doing? So. And then probably not next week. They would probably need a little bit more notice, and then we're running into.
Great. So you can
probably look at setting that date so that we can give people some notice on that.
And maybe we put it on several agendas where we have light loads.
Right. One thing that I would say, and maybe I'm don't under that I'm making some assumptions here, but I do feel like having two county clerks on this commission who meet with county clerks and subgroups, that I feel like I'm getting some of that, but certainly there's nuances probably from counties that they would certainly be welcome to be able to come and share that. So I think it's maybe always an open invitation, but maybe on some specific things. But did I not understand that you know, you're a representative of the County Clerks Association?
We do reach out regularly, every other week, to just ask people other issues that they'd like us to bring to the commission, but if you want to hear from some others.
Yeah, but no, I think that's a good point from Cindy.
And where are
I thought, too, this is Fran, that we were going to start kind of holding some meetings around the state so that we could give those clerks and other people opportunities.
That would make it much easier.
That is, and I think that we did say that we would talk about that, and so thank goodness we have a full commission of people, so every one of us can remind us of some things that we need to do. So we did talk about that we want to hit different parts of the state. Suzanne, do you have, where are some of the places that we want to try to hit other than Pueblo?
Of course. Well, I think we would probably want to do the western slope at some point. Maybe Sterling. It's not that far, but it draws in the eastern side. Generally, we try those. Sometimes we go down to Durango, you know. But we had really good participation when we went to Boulder, when we went to Pueblo. I'm just thinking back to our listening tour and where we got the majority of people. We also did pretty well in Colorado Springs. Surprisingly, you can go as short a distance as Arapahoe County and get good participation. You know, and maybe that's something we should talk about too, is allowing some public comment over the phone, because a lot of people won't even drive, you know, the 30 minutes, let alone 4 hours. People just don't want to make that kind of trip for 3 minutes of comment. So, but we find we get pretty good comments out in Grand Junction, heading down to Durango. Usually you can draw people. But Pueblo actually drew a lot from much further south.
So someone else can have a comment? Is there any recommendations on when we might have a meeting away from here? How soon we'd want the first one to be before we even look at locations? Does anyone have any thoughts about that? Oh,
it's peak season.
Although you can go to Palisades,
yeah. Yeah, and Clark Reiner told me there's a, if you're willing to fly out of Centennial Airport, I guess there's a commuter flight that's like $39 round trip.
Oh,
yeah. To Grand Junction, yeah.
How much to Grand Junction?
Like $39 round trip, a commuter. I mean, you have to fly in and out, you know, in the morning and then back in the afternoon, but.
I think it's a little more than that because I've checked it out.
Oh, you did? They told me it was $39.
No. I think it's like $139.
Oh, well.
That's still pretty reasonable when you consider how many hours in the car going over.
Yeah, that was out of the commuter airports, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Centennial, and the other one is up by Boulder.
Okay.
So because it's kind of far from Denver, at least even when you were looking at commissioner members, maybe that one could be pushed out a little bit further as we try to get some information and details how to make it as
most
efficient
for
everybody.
We can have Steve charter a plane.
Yeah. Could you do that, Steve?
Or drive
I'm fairly certain that's not in the commission's budget for this year.
Okay. We need to do one out of Denver before the general elections.
I would think we would want to, but I don't know if there's any.
Yeah, I'm sure we could, maybe after this report. And that reminds me, does everybody know that on Thursday the U.S. Commission is here in town? Okay. Just for anybody at home then, I think 9 a.m., where is it? Does anyone know? It's downtown.
Yeah, it's at the History Colorado Museum, and I think you have to sign up to get in the room. I don't know how strict they are, but it's worth checking out the website because they wanted people to RSVP.
Okay, and it's titled the U.S. Commission on
Election
Administration. Presidential Commission on Election Administration, PCEA, and the deadline is today to sign up. So.
Okay, so anybody who's listening to it stream, I think it's 9 a.m. Thursday morning.
If we just sign up the commissioners as a group that want to go today, I'm sure you could get in.
Anybody who would like to get signed up should see me, and I'll check into that for you.
Great. So
maybe we could think about doing one in October,
okay,
or late September. And
that sounds good. So let's look at that. And of course, I'm always happy to have everyone in Pueblo.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should just plan Pueblo late September.
Okay. Great. And we'll just maybe set a date next meeting.
Set something in Durango. That
was
a good one, too.
Okay.
So the first one with Madam Chairman?
Please, Richard.
So the first one would be in your home,
yes.
Pueblo?
We could do it in my home if you wanted to.
In your home community.
Oh,
would be what, and looking around maybe the end of September.
Yeah.
I think that's a great time. That'll work. And
great.
That's something to, let's definitely get that on the agenda and let's plan on doing that, because otherwise we'll slip along.
Pretty easy,
we'll keep pushing it off. So.
Great. Jesse.
Well, I'm just wondering if Representative Rankin isn't too upset we haven't mentioned Carbondale yet. I'm thinking when the aspens turn maybe on.
And I would point out that the aspen trees are spectacular in September, second, third week in September.
That's very true. So, okay, we'll talk about that again next week. All righty, unless we have anything else. Any other reminders? Steve has something for us.
So I'll release the next agenda by close of business on Wednesday. And if you will just take a look at the agenda, if there's anything missed or anything else that needs to go on there, let me know as soon as you can so that we can get that updated with the full line of business. I just have a handful of items on it right now. That's why.
Okay.
I mentioned that.
Great. All righty. We're adjourned.
Thank you.